Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you the latest in nerdy news and discuss the latest hot topics. Explicit content warning: this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. Material on this podcast may have been deemed to be vulgar, rude, and sometimes even crude. So you have been warned. What up, what up, what up, my motherfucking nerdy beeps? What's going down, everybody? Hope everybody has had an excellent week. Christian, how you doing there, friend?
Good. Oh, hello. Good. How are you?
I'm doing better than I was doing yesterday.
Oh, what happened yesterday?
Yesterday, we, meaning me, Christian, our nephew, and Ashley, and our friend Nathan, we went to Heroes and Villains Fan Fest. It's just like a convention that is primarily more centered around celebrities and celebrities dealing with like the CW. I'm not sure if they quite created it, but those seem to be the most dealt with celebrities there.
Yeah, from like television and stuff mostly.
Yeah. It was a great time. The likes of Stephen Amell, John Barrowman, John Bernthal were there. Some Echo,
Colum,
and
Rick Gonzalez.
Yeah, Rick Gonzalez.
Katrina Law, who plays Nissa Al Ghul. The guy who played Curtis in The Punisher was there. Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah.
Who plays Agent May in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Zachary Levi, who's been in a number of things, but will be Shazam in the upcoming Shazam movie. So, you know, just a bunch of people. And then Emma Dumont. I don't know her last
Emma
name.
Emma Dumont.
But she plays Polaris in Gifted. So, you know, just a smorgasbord of random television celebrities. But, you know, some of our favorite celebrities there are, Manu Bennett included.
Yeah. So you guys might be wondering, well, why would you say something like better than yesterday then? Because it sounds like a great time. I know, guys. It would be a great time if I would have had any fucking sleep the night before. Yeah, dude, I like drove down to San Jose, fucking no sleep and shit, like up for like some ungodly amount of hours before I finally was able to sleep. And then, right, we got home, right? We got home and then I fell asleep and then I woke up like 3 hours later and I was like, what the hell? I knew this was going to happen. And I had like this unbearable headache. Finally got rid of it, went back to sleep. And then, yeah, then I got like, I don't know, like 10 more hours of sleep. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was so great.
But you like decided not to sleep. You were like,
No, incorrect, sir.
You told me, you're like, I'm just going to stay up all night and, you know, then we'll leave in the morning.
Yeah. If I was going to go to work, I didn't work though. I actually tried to sleep.
Well,
yeah. And I told you that too. I said, oh yeah, I tried to sleep. I tried to like turn off the lights and just like sleep in the silent. That didn't work. I tried to listen to some music. That didn't work. I tried to watch like a movie. That didn't work. And then by that time it was like already like only like an hour, like 2 hours away. And I was just like, there's just no point. You know what I mean? Like, and I still wasn't even like all that tired, you know? So yeah, I definitely tried to sleep. I just, I don't know. I've been having trouble sleeping lately, guys.
Yeah.
So, but the con was unbelievable. Even in my tired state, it was so much fun. We, you know, I think mainly just due to the fact that it's, you know, there was a lot of celebrities. There's like at least like 16 to 20 celebrities there. And I think due to that, they try to allocate a lot of the floor to the celebrities and their booths and things like that. So there really wasn't that many vendors there. The vendors were all right. I really wasn't paying attention. I think those were like the moments where I was just like, God, yeah. I'm so tired.
There's also like a little play area kind of or whatever.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's like a little like bull riding thing and like a little bungee thing. Like, I don't know if you had to pay separately to use that or if like anybody could have used it.
I would assume it's probably pay to use. And I think I seen some trailers in there, like with some sort of TV video game setup, maybe. Yeah, it was pretty cool, though. We went to some awesome panels, guys. We went to the Men of Arrow, which starred Manu Bennett, Rick Gonzalez, who plays Wild Dog, and Echo Callum, which plays Curtis. So, yeah, that was quite fun. And I was really tired by that point, but that, like, it felt like I was like, kept like reamping every time like the panel actually came off because it like started engaging me. And like that one was just like awesome and it was great and it was funny. And I was like, how can this be topped? And then I remembered we're going to John Barrowman's panel. And oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
It was a spectacle indeed.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And he sang a song for us
at the end to close it all out. And he's just such a wonderful singer. I'm just like, is there anything this guy can't do?
No, there's not.
Yeah.
He was great and very entertaining. And we got my sister asked him a question. So, you know, it was cool. It was cool.
Yeah, she asked him a pretty funny question. I don't know what the show he was on. It was some UK thing.
Yeah.
But he did something called the banana trick where he put like an entire banana in his mouth, you know? And then so she like made like the clever like connection of like because Malcolm Merlyn, his nickname on the show is the Magician. And then so she went up there and asked him like, you know, explain that, oh yeah, I seen you on there and I seen the banana trick, and his face got all serious and he's like, oh god, where's this going? And then she's like, is that how you got the Magician nickname on Arrow? And then he was just like, he didn't even know what to say. He's kind of dumbfounded. He was like, I don't think he expected anybody to bring that up, you know.
Yeah. He said, I'm not doing that banana trick.
He's like, oh yeah, I'm not doing that banana trick. It was pretty awesome, pretty funny. And then like another good moment from the Q&A was this guy. He had like a female friend that couldn't be there but really wanted to go there to see John Barrowman. And so he like made the kid like come up. He's like, it was kind of hard to tell. He looked pretty young, but I would say between the ranges of like 16 to maybe 22, somewhere in there. Like I know it's a pretty big range, but like he just looked very young. So so John Barrowman made him give the phone up, and recorded a video on his phone for him to show this girl, and was like pretty much like being the ultimate wingman, and was like, oh, like on the video was like asking him like, oh, is she that kind of friend? And the guy like he was like shrugging in and like kind of like getting all red, and he's like, well, do you want him to be that kind of friend? Dude, it was just so funny, dude. It was epic.
Yeah.
It was just such a great thing. I always used to think like Manu Bennett was probably the best panel that I've ever been to, right? And like, who could top this guy? This guy's energy and his stories were just so amazing. And, you know, a lot of other people, you know, they're good and everything, but like Manu Bennett always brings something awesome to the table.
Right.
Nobody. I don't think there is one person who could top John Barrowman.
Well, and John Barrowman's panel was, the first bit of it was kind of like a stand-up comedy act as well.
Right.
So, you know, it's like you got a bit of a show as well as the Q&A. And
yeah, so. And so he doesn't allow like a Q&A for like a moderator. He just goes up there and then starts doing his thing and makes people line up right away. He wants to meet the fans. He wants to interact with people. And like that's like what he does. If you follow him on Facebook or any social media, you would already know that. Like he's such a great guy and like he's just hilarious. He made them like turn down the stage lights and turn up the room lights so he could see everybody and make the experience that much better. You know? It was just really awesome, guys. If you guys ever get a chance to go to a John Barrowman panel, I would highly suggest it. He was even dressed up in his Wonder Man costume.
Yeah.
Pretty spectacular.
He's pretty cool. He's really great. Just check them out. And to be honest, most moderators are awful anyway. They don't bring anything to the table. They just kind of sit there and pester the celebrities, you know, and it's like they want to interact with the fans. They don't want to sit there and be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. You're not having a conversation with them. You have a conversation with us, okay?
You know who's actually, like, surprising pretty good, though? But it was, like, a three-person panel. It was Rick Gonzalez was pretty hilarious. Echo Colin was also quite hilarious, but fortunately, he didn't really get too many questions from the audience. Like, everybody really wanted to question Manu Bennett. Right. Honestly, I'm pretty sure that's why most of the people showed up was to talk to Manu Bennett.
And he's really cool. Like, he's like, I'm not the only person up here, you know, like, I'm not going to steal the stage or the spotlight. Like there's three people up here. It's not a solo panel, you know?
Right. Yeah. And he even like said, he's like, you know, for the last couple of questions, he's like, I only want people to ask questions if they're for all of us, you know, like he wanted the other, like he can tell, like he probably felt awkward. Like he probably felt awkward that like everyone was just asking him questions.
Right.
I know I would feel pretty bad, to be honest. Like, like say if there was like a Nerdy Boy like panel and then people only kept asking me questions, I'd feel terrible.
Well, yeah. They'd be like, so, is Christian really as stupid as he sounds on the podcast?
I'm like, of course.
So.
No. But yeah, guys, that was our experience at Heroes and Villains Fan Fest. I would recommend anybody go there. Get there early because there's an outrageous line. It was a long line, guys. And yeah, well, that's all we got to really, report on that. We're going to get into some news.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is the NBR News, live from the NBR in-home studios. Christian, back to you.
Hello.
Hey, bud.
So we got a speed round of news, okay? Speed round, starting with Infinity War trailer. What'd you think?
It was great.
Oh, it was amazing, guys.
What'd you think?
It was... I loved it. Spider-Man's costume was all cool, and like I was like, man, that costume is cool. And like I thought it was going to be shit-looking, but it's not.
Yeah, I thought Thanos looked awesome, even though everybody on the internet hates it, and he's like, oh my god, look at him without armor. Why doesn't he have armor? Oh my god, eventually you got to put the armor off!
Look at Thanos over there. He looks like everybody else, brother. He's a huge fucking meme now.
Memes. So. The only thing I got to complain about Thanos is, why does he have a different skin tone? What the fuck?
Because he's in the sun now.
Maybe.
I don't know. Infinity War is the most
viewed trailer of all time.
230 million views in 24 hours.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me because like as soon as that thing hit, everybody on my Facebook timeline was like, "Oh my god, fucking
yeah, yeah, it's brilliant, it's awesome."
I love
watch
it.
The trailer. Makes my nipples if you haven't hard, watched it, do it. Just watch it.
Just watch it.
And if you have watched, I mean, I'm sure you've watched. It. Everybody's fucking watched. Okay, next bit of news: Batman anime, Batman Ninja. That's what it's gonna be called.
Oh, konnichiwa.
I haven't seen the trailer, but I've seen bits and pieces of it, and it looks pretty cool. Are you loving this idea?
I love this idea. It makes my nipples hard.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yes.
Was it amazing?
It was amazing.
Does it
look? I don't know what they said, but it looked amazing. I hope they actually have subtitles.
This is actually in Japanese.
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually going to be a movie. It's not going to be like a full anime television show. But
which disappoints me.
An anime-style movie with the... they'll probably put out an American English subtitled version or
dubbed.
English dubbed version, so...
awesome.
Yeah,
moving on.
Awesome. Moving on. Next bit of awesome news. Titans. You know, the show coming out on DC's streaming service, Titans. Well, you know, they have this character in there called Robin, and a picture came out of him, and it looks fucking awesome.
Makes my dick a little hard.
Yeah, we posted this picture everywhere online. No, I'm just kidding. We posted it on Instagram and Facebook. So if you're following Nerdy Boys Reviews, you've seen this picture. Or, you know, if you're just alive and you like nerd stuff, you've probably seen this picture, and it is amazing.
It looks amazing. Go on Instagram or Twitter and our Facebook and check it out. Follow us at Nerdy Boys Reviews.
This costume's really cool. I really like it.
Yeah, make sure you guys are following us on all our social media. And this is why you get cool, teaser photos posted somewhere convenient that you can always rely on to go and check them out.
And if you're like, what Robin is it? I haven't been following this news. I don't know what Robin is. It's Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson? You mean the first Robin ever?
Why is he not Nightwing in this series yet? Because they're going to give us some time. So, next bit of news, Hellboy is being rebooted. We all know that. When is it coming out? We don't know. Oh, but we do now. 2019 release date set.
With no month or day given. Yeah!
Yeah, fucking specific as fuck.
Moving on.
Disney crosses $5 billion mark at the global box office for the second year in a row. Next year, I'll probably make double that.
Probably.
Because Infinity War is coming out, and the Han Solo solo film, which is probably not going to be very good, but it's still Star Wars that's going to make a lot of money.
Wait. That's pretty impressive, though. $5 billion without Star Wars already being released this month.
Right?
Wow. Oh. That's incredible. Star Wars. That is actually pretty incredible. I expect this to be...
$8 billion.
No. $8 billion. Come on. No. Come on.
Yep.
$3
billion? Yep.
That is overestimating, my friend.
Nope.
I'll give it a generous 1.7, totaling it to $6.7 billion.
Hey, man.
You think it can make $3 billion? Dude... I mean, it reached a billion pretty fast last
time. I'll say two. The last one didn't
even reach 3 billion, did it?
The reason I'll say three, the reason I said three is because, you know, Avatar made 2.7, but then I remember, like, the IMAX screening stuff, so obviously made more money. But I'll give it 2 billion. I'll say
2 billion? All right. I feel like that's a little bit better. Three is, I feel like, pushing it. Anywho, Black Lightning teaser and images are released. It looks fucking epic.
Yeah, it's not the first teaser. We had a trailer before, but the new images, like his costume's a little different looking now.
Yeah, dude. I will go out and say this is the best looking costume that the CW costume designer team has made thus far. It looks phenomenal, guys.
Great.
Another image you guys can find on our social media, Instagram, and we'll post it on our Facebook and Twitter later, but we already posted it on Instagram, so make sure you guys go check that out, Nerdy Boys Reviews. Yeah, dude. Go right now. David Goyer, in talks to direct Master of the Universe. Cool.
Yeah, He-Man and She-Ra. Ha ha. I don't care about any of that, to be honest. And David Goyer, if you don't know who Dave Goyer is, he's an asshole who said She-Hulk is, you know, he made fun of her.
Yeah, David Goyer is a douche. And
yeah, called kids at cons virgins and stuff. And,
yeah, this guy needs to go die in a hole, and he should never be able to touch things like this again.
But he's touched a lot of it.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
I'm sure the next sexual assault allegations will be against him. Last bit of quick round news.
Jerome in to be in Gotham midseason finale.
Jerome's coming back.
We haven't been caught up on any of this stuff. We're actually trying to make our way through all of our shows that we would normally podcast on that we no longer podcast on, and you might be wondering why that is. We have changed our format, guys. I'm going to keep talking about it until I make sure everybody should know about it, you know, eventually. We've changed our format to a two-segment-a-week podcasting format. One being our film review Friday, which if you guys haven't checked that out, we just did an awesome podcast on the first Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't think it was that awesome. We just kind of agreed on everything and moved through it, and it was really boring.
Bullshit.
Oh, wait!
But we
spent
didn't!
40 minutes arguing about 6 seconds of the movie.
It was great. It was wonderful. Oh, I love arguing with this kid. That, and then obviously the podcast that you're listening to is our weekly news segment where we do Catching Up with the Nerdy Boys and the weekly nerd news that everybody wants to hear about in the world. So we deliver to you guys. This is none of our, these news articles that we talk about are not our own. They are from a third party website that reports on these issues, and we just re-report it to you and give you guys our thoughts on it.
Yeah, what it means, you know, like something like that.
To get back to the Jerome being in the Gotham midseason finale, awesome. Is this going to be a reoccurring thing where, you know, they kill him and then bring him back to life every season? You know, that might get a little old. Let's just leave him alive this time and just lock him up, maybe? Yeah.
Him become the actual Joker. How about that? And then, so we have box office updates. Justice League is now at $567.4 million globally, with Thor Ragnarok, which came out 2 weeks earlier, at $816.4 million. I think Justice League's only made like $192 million in the U.S. It made $87 million in China, and it's only been there for like a week. For a movie that spent $300 million, it hasn't made very much money yet.
Yeah, terrible movie. Bust. What?
You said terrible movie.
Oh, wait. No, wait. It wasn't a terrible. I'm sorry, guys. It wasn't a terrible movie. I don't know. I think when I just like associate it with in my mind, I just start thinking about BVS what a shit show that was. This wasn't the worst movie they've made, but it's definitely, there's a lot of problems with it. It was an enjoyable movie, but I can see why it didn't make that much money, guys.
Yeah, and even Jamar, our friend, tweeted at us and said it was like incredibly boring. He said it wasn't bad. It was just boring. Like, didn't feel like anything happened. So, anyway. First bit of full news outside of the speed round. James Cameron offers new details on the Avatar sequels. Director James Cameron's plans for the Avatar sequels have seemed to mostly talk for the many years now. But the director is finally going full steam ahead on the films, the first of which will arrive in theaters 11 years after the original movie. Speaking with Vanity Fair, Cameron spoke about the sequels and his reteaming with his Titanic star Kate Winslet. She's very excited about it, the director says. Of the Oscar winner's involvement, she blazed through for a couple of days of rehearsals and saw the world that we had created and how we do the work, and she's very excited. She plays a character who's part of the sea people, the reef people. The only thing she did do is demand that she do all of her own water work. I said, all right, that's fine. We'll have to teach you how to free dive. Cameron went on to reveal some information about a scene they recently shot involving not only child actors, but underwater and performing simultaneously. The other actors are up to 3- and 4-minute breath holds. We've already been doing underwater capture. We did a scene last week with 6 teenagers, well, actually 5 teenagers and 1 7-year-old underwater, holding their breath for a couple of minutes and acting, actually doing a dialogue scene underwater because they speak kind of a sign language. Why do you keep saying actually? Just say the right thing first. The director also spoke about the now meme where the amount of delays the film has had, saying, "I wouldn't call them delays. It was highly optimistic that we could start quickly until scripts are written. If there's no scripts, there's nothing, right? The scripts took 4 years. We're doing very well because of all the time that we had to develop the system and the pipeline and all that. We weren't wasting time. We were putting in, into tech development and design. So when all the scripts were approved, everything was designed, every character, every creature, every setting. Cameron also seemed to err on the side of caution about the 4th and 5th films, which are planned, noting that audiences have to return for the 2nd and 3rd movies. Let's face it, if Avatar 2 and 3 don't make enough money, there's not going to be a 4 and 5. They are fully encapsulated stories in and of themselves. It builds across the 5 films to a greater kind of meta narrative, but they're fully formed films in their own right, unlike, say, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, where you really just had to sort of go, oh shit, all right, well, I guess I better come back next year, even though that all worked and everybody did. Returning from the original film are Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, Joel David Moore, Stephen Lang, Matt Gerald, and Sigourney Weaver. Cliff Curtis and Una Chaplin are also joining the sequels. Cameron recently explained that Stephen Lang's Colonel Miles Quaritch is coming back for all 4 sequels, and will be the main villain throughout the story. Filming officially started on Avatar 2 and Avatar 3 on September 25th, 2017, shortly after James Cameron announced young cast members for the sequel, which includes the Sully family and children from the Metkayina Navi clan, who live near ocean reefs, led by Tonawari Cliff Curtis, the only actor who will appear in live-action playing a non-CGI character is Jack Champion as Javier Spider Socorro, a human teen born at the Hell's Gate military complex, seen in the first films. 20th Century Fox and Lionsgate Entertainment previously announced release dates for the 4 Avatar sequels. Avatar 2 will be coming to theaters December 18th, 2020, and will be followed by Avatar 3 on December 17th, 2021. Filming will begin on Avatar 4 and 5, afterward, which will be released on December 20th, 2024 and December 19th, 2025. Released in 2009, the first Avatar film remains the highest grossing film worldwide with over $2.7 billion in box office grosses. Titanic was previously the record holder with $2.186 billion worldwide.
Interesting. Just a quick correction. It's 20th Century Fox and Lightstorm Entertainment. You said Lionsgate. Yes. Sorry. Just so people aren't confused. This is big news, guys. Big news. I mean, it's adding on news, really. Everybody already knew that the Avatar sequels are coming, but 11 years after the first one, there's going to be a lot of hype when this movie let me just relook. It's
2020.
Oh my God. We'll be coming to theaters in 2020. That's still so far away. But so that means 14 years after the first film. Have you seen the Avatar movie?
Yeah, I saw it once.
Did you like it?
It was fine.
Mm. I loved it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Can it live up to the hype though? That is the question. It is such like
it's still 11 years in 2020 because it came out in 2009, I believe.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it meant like 11 years from now. Did it come out in 2009? Are you sure?
Yeah.
2009.
I was a sophomore or a freshman.
Yeah. Huh. Well, anyways, do you think it can live up to the hype? That's a long time. Still 11 years after the first
people
release.
People go see it. I mean, with the amount of money it made, everybody seems to have loved the movie. I mean, I enjoyed it, I think. I only saw it once, and it was in a car ride back from a Giants game.
So how much did you really pay attention to
it? I paid attention to the whole thing. It just, you know, it was, because I saw it after it came out on DVD and, you know, all that hype was there and whatever. And I was just like, okay, I don't see why there was so much hype around it, but it's fine, you know?
Oh, I thought it was a brilliant piece of work. I don't know if it can. Very few films or franchises can ever build off that type of success. and at least mirror the same success, you know? You know, Star Wars being one, obviously there's a huge gap in between those movies.
Right.
I can't really think of like another franchise that has even been that long, and maybe that's why, you know, they don't know necessarily if it can quite emulate the first film success. But, you know, what interests me really, right, is, you know, sequels are, obviously they've happened, you know, and they've been happening for a long time. But what I'm interested is, right, is this new kind of movement, and, you know, Star Wars kind of started it. And then now there is, you know, the MCU that kind of perfected it in a way is like building over to like this overarching story that every, like each little movie is a puzzle piece into like the actual picture. And this, the way he explained it is, yes, those movies are a freestanding movie, but it built onto the franchise as a whole, you know? And, you know, I take that as like, I'm like, oh, okay. So they're kind of doing something along the lines of what Marvel is doing. Is that going to be like the new trend in films? And not just inside of comic book movies or, you know, things to do with our spectrum of the culture. Do you think that's going to be something that is going to envelop and just bleed out into other movies?
Yeah. Other studios are already doing it. Universal tried to do their Dark Universe thing, which is probably going to fail. I think they've already lost a bunch of directors and stuff, mainly because The Mummy didn't do too well. Right. So, you know, everybody wants to kind of do this whole make your own universe thing and have your standalone movies, but they tie into a greater core narrative, or they tie into, you know, culminate into something bigger, and you can do these huge crossovers and it's all part of the same universe kind of thing. And even I think if they do He-Man, Masters of the Universe, I think they'll try to do something with that as well.
Yeah. See, it seems to work in our corner of the spectrum, though, just due to the fact that you have the source material that they draw from. So it keeps people interested in like, okay, maybe they'll do this storyline next, or they'll do this storyline next. But I mean, didn't Avatar become like a book or come from a book or something? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I'm not too sure. I'm not too familiar with Avatar. Like, I mean, I watched the movie, of course, but that's it. Anyways, where was I going with that? Yeah. What do you guys think? Do you think it can only really work in our corner of the movie industry for that reason? I mean, obviously it works with anything that, you know, has a book or a comic book or, you know, a graphic novel of sorts. Right. You know, obviously you could do that easily with that, you know, just building your own like freestanding original story, I feel like, is much harder to keep the audience even actively interested. But I think it's going to be a trend. I think it's going to be a trend.
Well, I mean, and I think they've been doing it with TV for years. I mean, it hasn't been as successful, especially when you get certain spinoffs and things like.
Right.
I mean, we got Angel out of Buffy, which was great. You know, we got Torchwood out of Doctor Who, which was great. So it's like you get, you know, you expand your universe when you do things like that.
Correct. All right. So a new Sabrina series gets 2-season order from Netflix. Though previously announced as being in development at the CW to function as a companion to their hit series Riverdale, The Hollywood Reporter brings word that new Sabrina the Teenage Witch series has now landed at Netflix. The streaming service has given the series a 2-season, 20-episode order, with the first 10 episodes set to be filmed from February to June and the second from June to October. The series is based on the new comic book The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which reimagines the origin and adventures of Sabrina the Teenage Witch as a dark coming-of-age story that traffics in horror, the occult, and, of course, witchcraft. Tonally in a vein of Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist, this adaptation finds Sabrina wrestling to reconcile her dual nature, half-witch, half-mortal, while standing against the evil forces that threaten her life, her family, and the daylight world humans inhabit. Now that the two shows are on different networks, it remains to be seen if there will be any formal association between Riverdale and the Sabrina series. The Chilling Adventure of Sabrina comic book series features brief appearances by Archie characters like Betty and Veronica, but is primarily a self-contained narrative. Riverdale showrunner Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa is writing the adaptation, the comic book basis for which he also wrote and will executive produce. Lee Toland Krieger will direct and executive produce, and Aguirre, Greg Berlanti, Sarah Sketcher, and John Goldwater are all set to executive produce. Melissa Joan Hart previously played the character in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which ran for 4 seasons on ABC and then moved to the WB its final 3 seasons. The comedy ended in the run in 2003.
Yeah, I used to watch that show.
Oh, I was just about to ask you, did you ever watch that show? I used to watch that show. Yeah, it was a pretty good show.
I liked the cat, Salem. He was cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is obviously something totally different, and if you're a huge fan of that, you should not go into thinking it's just a new version of it, because
yeah, this obviously won't be a comedy.
Obviously, they say in the thing, let me just reread it, this series is based on the new comic book, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which reimagines the origin and adventures of Sabrina the Teenage Witch as dark coming of age that traffics in horror, the occult, and of course, witchcraft.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, you know, they're basically going to use the characters out of that and then just do their own thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be good, probably. I'll watch it for sure. Especially on Netflix, you're going to have a better production quality. So
here's another question, though. Why did it not get made on the CW? Do you think just because they didn't have slots for it and they just said, nah, we don't want to do it anymore? Or could a money that, thing?
Or just because Netflix picked it up and they, you know, wanted it and Netflix was going to pay you more than the CW would.
Well, obviously, correct.
So I think that's what kind of did it. They want to make the best production possible, and Netflix gave them that opportunity, probably. So
yeah.
All right. Brian Fuller and Michael Green stepped down as showrunners for the Star series American Gods. Showrunner Brian Fuller and Michael Green have left the Star series American Gods, according to Deadline. The series was renewed for a second season back in May, and according to the site, most of the scripts have already been written. There is a possibility that Neil Gaiman, who authored the award-winning novel the series is based on, might join as co-showrunner, though that is not confirmed at this moment. Brian Fuller and Michael Green created the adaptions of the novel American Gods and served as showrunners and executive producers. Fuller is also known for his work on Hannibal, Pushing Daisies, and Star Trek Discovery. Green is known for his work on Logan, Blade Runner 2049, and Alien Covenant, as well as the series Smallville.
What? I love that show.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Not really that they stepped down. I don't know what the world will happen. So hopefully season 2 continues as planned, and everything goes fine, and the series continues to be fairly good.
Yeah, because American Gods has been awesome. I don't think we finished it, but
we have one episode left.
One episode left. Oh, and it's been a fantastic series.
Yeah.
You're an arsehole dead wife.
You're an arsehole dead wife.
Anywho, Big Little Lies actress Catherine Newton in talks for Detective Pikachu. Legendary Entertainment and Pokemon Company are releasing the first ever Pokemon live-action film based on Detective Pikachu, and Big Little Lies actress Catherine Newton is in negotiation for the lead role opposite the Get Down's Justice Smith. Oh, from the Get Down's Justice Smith. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Rob Letterman is set to direct Detective Pikachu from a script by Nicole Perlman and Alex Hirsch. Newton will play the role of Lucy, a journalist who accompanies Smith's character on an adventure. First introduced in Japan in 1996, Pokemon has delighted fans of all ages around the world for 2 decades now, and with more than 279 million video games sold worldwide, 21.5 billion TCG cards shipped to 74 countries, and the animated series spanning 19 seasons, the Pokemon is one of the most successful entertainment brands in the world. Universal Pictures will handle the distribution of the live-action film outside Japan, as it is done with Legendary's other films for years. The Pokemon's company, a longtime movie collaborator, Toho, will handle distribution of the film franchise in Japan, and as it had similarly done in its partnership with Legendary on the iconic monster reboot for Godzilla. Catherine Newton is known for her works, the HBO series Big Little Lies, where she played the role of Abigail Carson. She appeared in the TV serial series Supernatural as Claire Novak. Oh, yeah, okay, I know who she is. And will reprise her role in the upcoming spinoff Wayward Sisters. She also appeared in Lady Bird and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which are getting award season buzz. Justice Smith is known for his works in the short-lived Netflix series musical series The Get Down, as well as an exploration in blues and Paper Towns. He'll be next seen in the upcoming sequel Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah, okay. So, Pokemon is getting a movie that's a live-action movie.
That's not based off Ash Ketchum. This is blasphemy.
Or maybe it's a black Ash Ketchum, because Justice Smith is a black kid. So maybe he's just, you know, Ash Ketchum.
Didn't say the name of the character?
I don't think so. I don't know. They said the name of her character. She's playing opposite Justice
Smith. Well, maybe he is playing. Hopefully he's playing Ash Ketchum.
I don't know. Maybe.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, it's Detective Pikachu. It has to be Ash's, right?
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. Next bit of news. Snoke is not a Sith. Daisy Ridley is done after Episode 9. And more Star Wars The Last Jedi news.
What?
There are some new revelations about the upcoming Star Wars The Last Jedi, including the fact that Snoke, played by Andy Serkis, isn't a Sith, and that Daisy Ridley, Rey, is done with the franchise after Episode 9. You can also check out a new Empire magazine photo of Kylo Ren, the new Rolling Stone cover, and some on-set shoots from Rian Johnson online. Just Google them. And don't miss a live video Johnson did on Facebook. You can just go to Star Wars from on Facebook and watch it, probably.
Wicked.
Which opens with a new behind-the-scenes featurette. First up, we have the revelation that Snoke, who's played by Andy Serkis, is not a Sith. Serkis told Empire Magazine, Snoke is bloody dark. Oh, hold on. Yeah. Way darker than Palpatine. He's riddled with his osteoporosis, so his body's twisted like a corkscrew. He's incredibly damaged, so there's a bizarre vulnerability about him. Beneath that vulnerability, though, is this intense hatred. Yeah, yeah. So, he continues, he's definitely not a Sith, but he's certainly at the darker end of the Force. Without giving too much away, that begins to unfold a little in this one. Johnson told Rolling Stone that The Last Jedi isn't all that dark. He said, that's one thing I hope people will be surprised about with the movie. I think it's very funny. The trailers have been kind of dark. The movie has that, but I also made a real conscious effort for it to be a riot. I wanted to have all...
Let's start a riot! A riot!
I wanted to have all the things totally that I associate with Star Wars. Damn it, I slipped into a different accent because of you.
Get wrecked.
Which is just not the Wagner of it. It's also the Flash Gordon. I don't get that reference. Adam Driver gave the magazine a small bit of info on Kylo Ren's age. He's playing him younger than his real age, which is 34. I don't want to say how much younger, because people read into it.
Oh, yeah.
He said that he regretted mentioning it, though. We don't know if it gives any info on the plot. Ridley also told Rolling Stone that the information about who Rey's parents are, which she's known since The Force Awakens, hasn't changed, though Johnson has stated that he was allowed to do what he wanted to with the story. He said, I wasn't given any direction as to what that had to be. I was never given the information that she is this or she is that. Ridley added that she wasn't going to continue playing Rey after Episode 9. She said, no, for me, I didn't really know I was signing on to. I hadn't read the script, but from what I could tell, it was really nice people involved, so I was just like, awesome! Now I think I am even luckier than I knew then to be part of something that feels so like coming home now. When pressed on the answer, she said, no, I am not. I'm really, really excited to do the third thing and round it out because ultimately what I was signing on to was three films. So in my head, it's three films. I think it will feel like the right time to round it out. Rey took her first steps into a larger world in Star Wars The Force Awakens and will continue her epic journey with Finn, Poe, and Luke Skywalker in the next chapter of the continuing Star Wars saga. The Last Jedi is written and directed by Rian Johnson, produced by Kathleen Kennedy and Ram Bergman, and executive produced by J.J. Abrams, Jason McGatlin, and Tom Karnowski.
All right, first off, right? Fake news, okay?
Fake news.
Because, Jesus. They say Snoke's not a Sith, but we all know that Snoke is Jar Jar Binks, and Jar Jar Binks is a Sith.
Oh, okay.
I mean, so it has to be fake news, right? Fake news.
Oh.
I don't believe it. Okay. And as for Daisy Ridley, go fucking suck a dick. Nobody cares that you're not coming back. You aren't that great that we're just like, oh my God.
Daisy Ridley is a treasure.
Shut your face. Hope they kill her.
I think I did a pretty good Daisy Ridley accent.
I don't.
Yes, you do. You loved it.
No, I didn't.
Man, that's amazing.
Go suck a dick, homie. Anything other to say? Well, okay, all right. Let's be serious about this. I think it's actually bullshit that he came out and said this. It's totally bullshit, dude.
Spoiler
right?
Spoiler
no,
alert.
I'm like, no. Seriously, I'm actually being super serious right now. Like, it's super bullshit that he would come out and say this and fucking ruin something in the movie for fans like this. Like, I can understand, to an extent, fucking over-marketing with all the trailers and bullshit, but to an extent, it usually doesn't give too much or any important information away, you know, with most movies. But this is some fucking bullshit, dude. This is bullshit that he would, that they even allowed him to fucking say something like, I hope this guy got in so much trouble for this, dude. This honestly really pisses me off.
Kind of misleading as well, because he does use the Force in the trailer that we see. Like, so he may not be a Sith, and Kylo Ren may not be a Sith, but they are on the dark side of the Force. They're still forces of evil. Just because you're not a Sith doesn't mean you're not Force sensitive, that you're not.
Duh.
I mean, the Sith are an order just like the Jedi are an order. So
maybe they've created their own order in the First Order. Right. Maybe that's why they called it the First Order.
Right, and thematically, I mean, it makes sense when Luke says the Jedi must end. That he doesn't mean there's never going to be another person who can use the Force and wield it for good ever again. You know, so.
Okay, but no. Okay. I'll roll with that. I'll roll with that, homie. Because remember, right, in the Dark Bane series, a lot of people haven't read that, but okay, in the Dark Bane series, right, it started off with, you know, there's a whole, exact like that, there's like a whole, like, Sith army, like, it's Sith versus Jedi, and, like, the sides are opposing each other, and it's super crazy, and, like, this crazy world, and then Darth Bane, which is, you know, a Sith Lord, and he goes off on like an excursion to like do like research and all this stuff, and he finds out that the Sith were never supposed to be this army, that it's supposed to be you know, one who holds the power and then one that learns. So basically you're supposed to be a master and an apprentice, and that's why you only ever see two people. And basically that he recreated that, cuz he ends up killing like all the Sith, and it's just him left.
Yeah, and then he finds an apprentice, and, you know...
I don't know what happened from there, so shut your fucking face.
Well, it happens at the end of the first
book. I know that, but yeah, I don't want to hear anything beyond that.
The second book is called The Rule of Two, because he redefines the Rule of Two, which we were first told about from Yoda in The Phantom Menace. But, you know, it's based on, you know, old Sith tradition. So.
Yeah, I think they just used to call themselves, like, Sith Lords and stuff like that. I forgot. There was, like, another step above that or something. And basically, people stop using the word Darth in their name, like Darth Maul, Darth Bane, you know.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. Darth Vader, obviously. And he brought all that back through, you know, researches of, like, through the old Sith tombs and things like that. So maybe, all right, I had a point to all this, okay? We were like, why are you talking about this, right? But no, maybe... in that way, they, you know, being Snoke, and what's his face, little emo Eddie or whatever his name is, did research and they decided to change it again. And maybe that's where they came up with the First Order.
Well, I mean, and Snoke also isn't really Kylo Ren's master. He's just kind of the...
Well, he leads him. So right, you
but
would
he
assume
he's not training him, you know?
Well, you know, we don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know that. We know that Luke trained him at first.
Right.
But you can always go and get a new master.
And then Kylo,
I'm just rolling with it.
Killed
all
the other Jedi that Luke was training. So, yeah.
Yep.
That's a thing. But yeah, I mean, Jedi and Sith are, you know, like what you most associate with, like the light and the dark. So like, you know, whatever. But you have to be trained to be a Jedi. You have to be trained to be a Sith. Like you don't just be one. So. That might be what he meant, is like he can use the Force, and maybe he taught himself, but he's not an actual Sith, and yeah.
Right. So let us know what you guys think. Are you guys as angry at this guy as I am? Are you as angry as I am? I think it's total bullshit that he's allowed to say this, dude. I don't know. Let us know. Anyways, Patty Jenkins teases her ideas for Wonder Woman's sequel, as the first film was breaking box office records. Warner Brothers was already hedging their bet on Wonder Woman's sequel by bringing back star Gal Gadot and director Patty Jenkins for the film. Precious little is known about the film except that it will arrive in 2019. But speaking with Variety via Up Rocks, Jenkins teased some of her broad ideas that she's working with. On the sequel, she said it's a similar formula in so far as making a great, enjoyable, fun movie, but that ultimately in its third act turns out to be very big issues and very big experience that will aim to have slightly more weight and to be profound than it has been. Dude, the way she talks is so weird. Because that's a formula that I really like, and I like the idea of taking somebody on a very solid, great journey, but that arrives at a bigger question being answered. So it's like that, but because she is Wonder Woman, and there she's here now, and she's fully developed, it's got great fun from the start and great big superhero presence from the start. And is funny and a great love story again, and a couple new unbelievable characters who I'm excited about, who are very different than were in the last movie. I feel like it's just the right amount, the same world of Wonder Woman as the first movie, while being completely different story that tackles something very different, but very similar, singular one story. I swear to God, I read that shit word for word, guys. This lady cannot speak.
maybe.
It's just, she used the word very a lot.
Well, yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know.
People like in interviews just talk to talk sometimes.
Yeah. Following the publication of these quotes, the first time Jenkins took to Twitter to refute some fan speculations on the above quote, which how could they have speculations on something quite retarded? Quite a few people seem to be completely misunderstanding or making some pretty false assumptions based on one of my vague quotes. Yeah, vague. Vague meaning fucking you can't comprehend the shit that you're saying, lady. Quotes I made about something I can't say anything about. Just wait, winky face. Wonder Woman's 2 release date was recently moved from December 13, 2019 to November 1st, 2019, following the delay of Star Wars Episode 9 from the May 29th release slot to December 20th, 2019, when J.J. Abrams took over the film. Yeah.
So she said something about like a new love story.
Yes. Why? A new love story.
Why do we need hashtag a Batman love story in Wonder Woman? Why? Tell me.
I know. I bet like feminists are going to be really pissed about that. I'm a strong in opinion. I don't need no man. I don't give a shit, dude. Every good story has a love story most of the time. I mean, it just makes for good television. How could you not want a love story, dude?
Yeah, but most television love stories are pretty shit.
It's not a television love story. It's a movie love story.
No, those aren't that great either. Like,
have you never seen the Titanic?
Yeah, she let him die.
The greatest love story of all time.
No.
There was room on the plank for two!
I never saw Titanic, but no, no.
So how do you know what you're even talking about, dude? Jack made the sacrifice, dude, and was like, we won't make it if I get on the plank too.
Which
he's
is
like,
fine.
Rose,
which
just go.
Fine.
Just go. And he just fucking fine. Drowned. And... yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm actually of the opinion that there was room for two.
it makes for a good story, you know. Like, happy relationships are terrible television, terrible movie. You know, like, no, it's not entertaining, you know? So you have to make terrible love stories. You have to make shit things happen, so.
Right.
But yeah. Anyway. Did I? What? Hold on. Okay, that's next. Anyway.
You wanted to order it so you could read it. I see. I see what you did there.
I don't know. I don't know. What?
Just read the story. Oh, okay.
It makes sense. Sorry, guys. So, anyway. Margot Robbie reveals another Harley Quinn spinoff in development. Even before Suicide Squad was released last year, there were already talks of spinoffs and sequels to the film. Warner Brothers is in active development on not only a sequel to Suicide Squad, a Harley Quinn-led Gotham City Sirens film, but also a Joker and Harley movie because fuck you guys. Now, in an interview with MTV, Margot Robbie confirms that another Harley spinoff is in the works. Goddamn, I'm not good at Australian. Fuck. It's hard to talk about... Oh, fuck, I can't do it. Okay. It's hard to talk about it because this stuff is under lock and key, but I've been working on a separate spinoff Harley thing for a while now. It's a totally separate one. There's a lot going on right now, and honestly, I don't think anyone knows what's going on to be the next thing to happen, but I think everyone is keen to get Harley back on screen, so everyone is working on lots of different versions of what that could be. When asked what she would like to see in these sequels and spinoffs moving forward, Robbie replied, "I want to see her with other women. I kept saying when we were shooting Suicide Squad, she needs her girlfriends. She needs other girls around her because she loves that. And you see it in the comics. She loves meeting people, any people, but she needs a little girl gang. A little girl gang." All right. The response to Suicide Squad was also not the kindest, and Robbie opened up about that, about what that learning curve has been like for the development process of these spinoffs and how they're moving forward. "I think when it comes to something that has such a huge fan base already, you obviously want to do the fans justice. You want to show them the characters that they fell in love with, but you also can't be kind of paralyzed by the idea of how do we please everyone, because it's not going to happen with any film. With Tanya as well, this is someone that everyone really knows well and has already passed judgment on. But if we sit here and forget to tell the story and forget to find the truth in a scene or a scenario, just try to make everyone happy. You're never going to please everyone. So all you can do is try and tell the truth as much as possible. Have truthful reactions and truthful scenarios for your character. Know your character inside and out and let people watch them inhabit the world." Gavin O'Connor of The Accountant is set to write and direct the sequel of Suicide Squad, while Christina Hodson is set to write the Gotham City Sirens film. And Crazy Stupid Love pair of Glenn Ficarra and John Requa will write and direct the Joker and Harley movie. As Robbie said, however, it remains to be seen which of these projects will get off the ground first. Hopefully none of them. If you guys want to watch the interview with MTV, just go to MTV. The full interview's on there. I mean, they...
Yeah. Harley everywhere. Cool. So, The Flash and Supergirl's Andrew Kreisberg was fired from WBTV following his suspension after multiple allegations of sexual harassment. Warner Brothers Television has announced that executive producer Andrew Kreisberg has been fired from the four-hit superhero show, which he developed and continued to work on for the CW, including Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow. A quote by somebody I don't know. After a thorough investigation, Warner Brothers Television Group has terminated Andrew Kreisberg's employment effective immediately. The studio, they don't provide who said that in the studio, but somebody in the studio said this. Could have been the assistant. Who knows? Greg Berlanti will assume additional responsibilities on both The Flash, where he will work closely with executive producer / co-showrunner Todd Helbing, and Supergirl, where he will work closely with executive producer / co-showrunner Robert Rovner and Jessica Queller. "We remain committed to providing a safe working environment for our employees and everyone involved in our productions." Warner Brothers Television Group recently concluded its investigations into the allegations against Andrew Kreisberg. "We encouraged and supported this investigation. We believe and support the individuals who came forward, and we agree with the studio's decisions." Greg Berlanti and Sarah Sketchner said, nothing is more important to us than safety and well-being of our colleagues, co-workers, crew, and staff alike. Variety first reported on the news on November 10th, wherein the producer was suspended from the series following the allegations of sexual harassment and inappropriate physical contact from 15 women and 4 men on the staff of the various shows. Jesus of fucking Christ.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Dude, this... All right, obviously, they're not going to release the details. They're not going to give us names because they would have done that by now. Obviously, you know, there are certain laws in place, right, that it's like, I think it's called like the whistleblower law, that if, you know, you go to your HR department and stuff like that, they're not allowed per se to give out names, you know, in fear of, like, you know,
you can't be retaliated
against. Yeah, you can't be retaliated against, or people can't take, you know, revenge. But obviously, that many people, so 19 people in total, 15 women and 4 men, all happened to by Andrew Kreisberg, whether or not these were the stars of the show or just, you know, random people in, you know, the background or whoever they might be. You know, I'm glad that something like this happens. You know, it shows that there is justice out there for these type of people. That, you know, wrongdoings do happen to. You know, obviously, Andrew Kreisberg was not the man that we thought he was. And he is just a low-life scumbag that would do, you know, inappropriate physical contact and sexual harassment type of things, right. Obviously. You know. It's really just unfortunate. You know, it does leave me in question of what is going to happen to some of our shows, because obviously Andrew Kreisberg has been involved with every one of the shows from the beginning to now. You know what I mean? So does beg the question of what happens to our shows now.
Yeah.
Do they continue on the way they are? Do they go uphill from now? Do they go downhill? What do you think?
I mean, hopefully it'll be a better work environment for everybody, and I have faith in Greg Berlanti to help improve things. So, you know, we'll see what happens, definitely. But I think it'll be, I mean, it's a good decision. You can't just have someone walking around who
correct
either does these things or who makes people feel uncomfortable or whatever. And, you know, I read something recently about, you know, how important it is to separate the art from the artist, especially in times like these, which is something I agree with. But at the same time, you know, it's like we also need to make sure that, you know, all this news is really about the people doing it. It's about, you know, the Andrew Kreisbergs, the Matt Lauers, the Kevin Spaceys, but it can't be about them. The narrative needs to be about the victims and making things better and making changes for the better in Hollywood and or anywhere you work, really, as we move forward and changing our culture in a way.
Yeah, I totally agree with that statement. I'm just glad that now on the CW it seems to be a bit of a safer place for our, you know, for our cast and crew. You know, it's just, it's a great feeling to know that justice has been served.
Yes.
In a serious note, you know what I mean? You know, I'm truly glad that something like this happens. And honestly, I hope that these people press charges on them. I really do. I mean, cause in my opinion, right, something like they would not go as far as firing somebody this high up in their company that this involved in this many television shows, and you know what I'm saying? So there's truth to it, obviously, you know, and because there will eventually be the cases where there are people making false accusations, you know, I don't really want to go down that road, but you know, that's the horrible part of, like, you know, great things like this happening is you always run the risk of that now happening, which, you know, never an argument for people not to come out. I'm glad these people stepped up and brought this scumbag to light. You know, it's a great thing, and hopefully the CW is now a safer work environment for everyone because of it.
Right, and it will happen. I mean, we have such a out there political rationale right now. It's so extreme on each side, you know, so everyone will take something one way or the other, and it'll go to the extremes. So,
right.
But that doesn't mean this shouldn't keep happening for the better. Next bit of news. Heart of Dixie's Wilson Bethel joins Marvel's Daredevil Season 3, Wilson Bethel from Heart of Dixie and Generation Kill, I've never seen either of those, has joined the cast of Marvel's Daredevil Season 3, according to a Variety. Bethel will portray an FBI agent whose role is reportedly critical to what's going on between Matt Murdock slash the Daredevil and Wilson Fisk slash the Kingpin. Though we don't know anymore about the series' regular role, there was a character description for an FBI agent that leaked a few months back, leading some fans to assume that this might be the Marvel character Sin Eater, a.k.a. Stanley Carter. Carter was an NYPD officer who used to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and after an experimental drug made him insane, spends time trying to push those he feels are sinful. Punish those, sorry. He tries to punish people, like the Punisher. Wilson Bethel joins returning cast members Charlie Cox, Deborah Ann Woll, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Eldon Henson, that's Daredevil, Karen Page, Wilson Fisk, and Foggy Nelson, respectively. Eric Olesen from Kings and The Man in High Castle will be the new showrunner for the series. Olesen will be the third new showrunner for the series, replacing Douglas Petrie and Marco Ramirez, who were co-showrunners on the second season of the series. Stephen DeKnight was the showrunner in the inaugural season. Marvel's Daredevil Season 3 will premiere on Netflix in 2018. The third season of Marvel's Daredevil is executive produced by series showrunner Eric Olesen and Drew Goddard from The Cabin in the Woods, along with Jeff Loeb and Jim Chory. Marvel's Daredevil is produced by Marvel Television in association with ABC Studios for Netflix. Wilson Bethel is known for his work in the series Heart of Dixie and Generation Kill. He had appeared in How to Get Away with Murder, Inherent Vice, and Harley and the Davidsons.
Yeah, I don't know this actor from any of those things. You know, I mean, I trust Marvel and what they do, and I definitely trust Netflix and their ability to cast people, because I can't think of a single casting in the Netflix Marvel series that I disagree with that I'm like, oh my God, they're so terrible. Why don't they, you know, just kill them off or whatever?
Shit.
Yana. So.
Shitta.
What a shitta. Anywho, yeah, I totally trust and believe in the Marvel way. So, in other news, in other Marvel news, Evangeline Lilly reveals big detail on Ant-Man and the Wasp plot. The previously revealed synopsis for Marvel Studios' upcoming Ant-Man and the Wasp offer only a tease of what fans can expect from the 2018 sequel. In speaking with Vanity Fair for the Marvel Studios cover story, however, actress Evangeline Lilly was asked about DC CEO Bob Iger's comment about the MCU expanding into new areas. In answering, Lily appears to have revealed a big detail on the plot of Ant-Man and the Wasp, what that could mean for the MCU moving forward. She went on to say, when I heard about Infinity War and the direction that they're heading, I did have this moment of realizing, oh, wow, there's a bit of deja vu for me. And with the Lost franchise, we're hitting that Lost Season 4 space where everything's about to shift. And you're about to lose the solid ground underneath you, and Ant-Man and the Wasp, of course, will play a part in that. They also talked about those characters are expected in the quantum realm in the Ant-Man and the Wasp. They are trying everything in their power to safely enter the quantum realm, return back from it, because they have evidence from the first film that Scott Lang was able to do that. If he can do that, why can't we? If we do succeed in Ant-Man and the Wasp, then that does open a whole entire new multiverse to enter into and play around in. I'm not the story creator, so I can't tell you what they're going to do with that, but definitely see the potential there. As fans know from the first film, Hope's mother was lost in the quantum realm many years ago, and a brief appearance of her can even be seen for a split second during Scott's journey there in the 2015 film, with Michelle Pfeiffer set to star as Janet Van Dyne in the film. It would seem fans can expect a trip back into the quantum realm. Ant-Man and the Wasp stars Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Peña, and Academy Award winner Michael Douglas, who all returned to their roles. They originated in 2015. Box office hit Ant-Man, Bobby Cannavale, Judy Greer, Abby Ryder, Forsen, and T.I. anticipated follow-up has also added Academy Award nominees Michelle Pfeiffer and Lawrence Fishburne, along with Hannah John-Kamen, Walton Goggins, and Randall Park to ensemble a cast. Marvel Studios' Ant-Man and the Wasp is directed by Peyton Reed and produced by Kevin Feige, with Luis Esposito. Is that really his name? What is is that really?
Despacito.
Oh, I was like, oh.
Despacito.
Cue the Justin Bieber music. Victoria Alonso, Stefan Burchard, Charles Neworth, and Stan Lee serving as executive producers.
All right.
More horseshit coming out of the film industry. Y'all just giving away some movie points. Get on, you pieces of shit.
Kevin Feige, I don't remember where I read it, but he said something about how after Avengers 4, literally it's going to be a whole new world.
It's a whole new world.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously we know that they'll probably kill off RDJ and Chris Evans and whatever. Like, that's pretty widely speculated by us. So we'll see what happens, but anyway, Dove Cameron joins Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 5 ahead of
there's gonna be a season 5.
There is.
I guess we should catch up on season 4 and
you were there watching me watch it.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, I was watching it, remember? And
when was I watching you watch it?
When you were gaming and I was
months ago. You've caught up.
I watched all season 4.
You piece of crap.
You seemed like you didn't want to watch it. I was trying to tell you about this awesome scene, and you were like, oh, yeah, I don't think I'm going to watch it, so.
Oh, I don't remember this. Fake news.
So, yeah, I do think it'll be canceled after the season because it's Friday nights, but ahead of the show's return later this week, which was actually Friday night, this is, you know, whatever. It's already started. Sorry. ABC and Marvel Entertainment have announced that actress Dove Cameron has joined the cast of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5. Cameron is best known as playing the two titular characters in the Disney Channel series, Liv and Maddie, and also playing Mal, daughter of Maleficent, in Disney Channel's Descendants movies.
I've farted.
Oh. All right, then. Season 5 of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kicked off. Yeah, I made some executive decisions to change the article. It kicked off with a special two-hour premiere, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday, December 1st. Titled Orientation, the episode is officially described as follows. Coulson and the team find themselves stranded on a mysterious ship in outer space, and that's just the beginning of the nightmare to come. Dove Cameron is an extremely gorgeous woman.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah, I actually saw the little teaser on her Twitter. It was shared by Marvel, I think, when I was on Twitter, and it was like her saying, I'm so excited, I can announce, guys, that I can finally come out with this. And then Coulson walks up to her and stares at her, and she's like, I can't, what? And then they get in the golf cart and drive off.
Wicked.
Yeah.
So, guys, that's all the news we had for you this week. I hope you guys enjoyed. Make sure you guys go check out our other podcast. You know, you can find us on podbean.com, you know, iTunes, Google Music Play Store, Libsyn, Stitcher. Yeah. All those great places. Make sure that you rate us and share us with your friends, family, leave us a review, all that good stuff. Really helps our community grow. Make sure you guys follow us on all of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Nerdy Boys Reviews. Make sure you guys follow us. Go check out our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com, created by Christian himself. What a great job you did there, bud. That's all we have for you guys this week. Hope you guys enjoyed. Let us know your thoughts on the news. Keep in touch. We love you.
Tell us where you want us to be and what you want us to do.
Yeah, make sure, like we said, Film Review Friday this week was Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, the first film in the epic franchise. Next week will be Harry Potter and the Slippery Snake.
Chamber of Secrets.
That thing. Make sure you guys go check us out.
The chamber is open!
The chamber is open! Anyways, we love you guys. As always, we are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
We'll just leave you with one simple message, and that's stay nerdy,
Nerdy Boys.